Good morning. Well, welcome again to all our guests. We appreciate having you here this morning. Thanks for joining us. This morning, we're going to look at a text in which Jesus gives us instructions on how to deal with people who sin, or in many manuscripts, it's sin against us. And we will see that it is much different than what we normally do as human beings. He also, in this text, gives us the power to forgive those who sin, and tells us that whatever we loose here on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And it is because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross that He can say this. And it is because of this great gift that I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, and it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of. Amen. Please be seated. Our text for this morning talks about something that is every day. Sometimes people think that the gospel and Jesus only talk about these heavenly things. Well, what he deals with today is very earthly, for it happens to us all the time. Or at least we perceive it to be happening. And if your brother sins against you, or just sins, there's two different readings of this, go and reprove him in private. And I'm going to stop right there, which is halfway through that verse. Because I think that this is the most important part of this whole deal. If you happen to see your brother in a sin, what are you supposed to do? Talk to him in private. If your brother sins against you, same thing. Either reading of this, the most important part is how you are to go about addressing this thing. You see, we all have been wronged before. We have all been felt wronged. But what do we normally do? I asked the Sunday school the same questions this morning. We get mad. We fight. And the other thing is we go tell on them. Now it's very interesting because we most of the time as adults kind of get past this, I'm going to go punch someone. But we haven't got past this whole thing of getting mad. That's really what we do. We get all upset and we most of the time don't deal with this in the way Jesus says, which is in private. No. We hop on the phone, Or we go into our little circle of friends and we go, hey, did you know what this guy did to me? Do you know what this person is doing out there? And we gossip and we slander them. And this is not the way that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, are to handle things. This is very earthly. No, what we are to do is we are to go to them in private and talk to them. This has been something that has hit me in the last five years that is very important in our walk as believers in Jesus Christ. Because we mess this stuff up all the time. We perceive someone in a sin, or we perceive someone has sinned against us, and right away we go tell everybody about it. We want to get a bunch of people on our side. Instead of doing exactly what Jesus says, which is to go to them in private and talk to them about it. Not yelling and screaming, but with the whole idea that we're going to gain our brother, as it says in our next verse, or in the end of this verse. The whole point of this is that we would restore a right relationship between ourselves and our brother, or our brother and God. It's not that we are superior to them. It's not that we are better, but rather that we would be in perfect fellowship and unity. I, as a pastor, make decisions every day. Some people get mad at me. The people that I respect the most that get mad at me show up in my office, and they can be mad. And they can yell at me. But they're there in private. And we usually, over time, come to an understanding and we are restored in our relationship. And that's the way we are to handle things as brothers and sisters in Christ. Not just between congregation and pastor, but between members, each as individuals. If someone does something that you perceive as a slight, we are to go to them instantly, in private, so that we can be restored and we can have fellowship together. And what Jesus says is that you have won your brother when you do this. And so then we go on, well, I did that once. So, if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every act or fact may be confirmed. This is the place that you come to. All right, this has happened. He doesn't talk to me, he's mad at me, or however that whole thing. Now you bring in two respected brothers. And you both go and talk to that person. And you again do not do this so that they are against him and you, but that all these things could be judged by people who are mature within the faith. And all of this is today. It's now. It's not something pie in the sky. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to the church, let him be as a Gentile and a tax gatherer. I want, at times, people go, well, you can't bring it all up to the church. There'll be a spectacle. Do we believe what Jesus says in his word or not? I can pretty much guarantee that within this body, if someone is being obstinate and it is brought before this body, or it is threatened to be brought before this body, that people are going to change and repent. There is no doubt in my mind. Because there's nobody that wants to stand up here and hear their deeds exposed. And yet, over all the years, and I went back to check, since like 1897, the establishment of this congregation, I can't find, and I've asked a few of the older folks within the congregation, any place or any time that this has happened. You see, the problem is with us as human beings is we think we know more than God. This is how Jesus tells us that we are to handle our differences within the body of Christ. This is the model. And if this model is followed, it will be to the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ and to God. But when we take our own ways and we have our own ways of dealing with problems, then we reap what we sow. Because God has set up a way for us to deal with these things. He's given us recourse. And it is all so that we can regain a brother. Not so that we can drag somebody up here and embarrass them. That's the last thing that this is done for. What it is done for is so that they can be restored to a right relationship within the fellowship and within God, or with God Himself. And yet, we don't do it. The one thing that I want us to remember as we go through this is when we do have this happen, that we would go through the steps. It's in our bylaws. This is how we're supposed to handle church discipline. Everybody writes it down. Oh yeah, go to Matthew 18. But we don't do it. Now, I'm not saying there's all kinds of skirmishes going on and everybody's mad at each other. In fact, I think just the opposite is the case. I don't think there's a whole lot of need to use this. And I think in some instances, we use the first and the second part, and the third part kind of takes care of itself. And so I don't expect that there's going to be a whole bunch of this stuff going, or, you know, church tribunals standing up here. That's not the point of this. But the point is to follow through on the two steps that are most important. That we privately go to our brother without looking for people to take sides, without gossiping and slandering that person. And then if that doesn't work, that we would take a couple witnesses. And for the most part, these things will take care of themselves. Because we go with the spirit of love, that our fellowship with that person would be taken care of. And then he gives us the flip side of the power that we have as a body. He says, "Truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Again, the keys to heaven, we have them. They have been given to us. I know of one instance, and I'm not going to give all the details, where the binding key was used. And within days, the person who had it used against them were calling for repentance. And that's the reason that key is given. Not to tell somebody that they're damned to hell, but that key would be used to restore their relationship between God and themselves, to understand that their lack of repentance is serious when you are a believer in Jesus Christ. And then we have the loosing key, the one that absolutely is my favorite. We throw open the gates of heaven and we proclaim the forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ each and every day to each and every person we come across, and we let God work in their lives to have them, to help them to believe it. We don't just do it for church people. We don't just do it for those who are like us. We do it for all people. We proclaim that gospel of Jesus Christ. We proclaim good news. And we let them know that they are forgiven, despite what they may find themselves in, despite what they may have done in their past, despite what they may do in their future. And we let God work by the power of His Word and through His Holy Spirit, that they too would come to know who Jesus is, and know, as we heard 2 weeks ago, that He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's where the loosing key is used. And He repeats a statement here. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Now, it's very interesting because the next verse, the end of our verse, says this: for when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Now, this is, to me, is one of the most oft misquoted verses in the Bible, because this is all about church discipline. It's all about restoring a brother and a sister. It's about bringing people back into fellowship. And yet we use it for all kinds of other things. Well, yep, as long as there's two or three are gathered, then God's here for Bible study. Well, He was here anyway. He never leaves us. But the point is, when you're getting together and you're coming together as a unit and agreeing on something that's as serious as church discipline, you can know that God is leading and guiding those things. Now, I'm not saying that it's any big deal that one gets misused. Don't get me wrong. That's okay. You can use that. For where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. Yep, He is. But He is not there just because the three of you have gotten together. Because God promises that even if we go pray, in fact, instructs us to go pray in our closet, that He will hear us. So it's not because I'm with a bunch of people that God is in the midst. It's that He is reassuring us when we are using these steps that He is going to lead and to guide us. And so, each and every time we have someone that sins against us, we are to use these things. We are to agree. We are to forgive. And we are always to look for the reestablishment of fellowship one with another and with God Himself. This stuff is useful. This stuff is useful even to the point of using it within your relationships of marriage. When a spouse feels wronged by, let's just do this in a very easy way, if a wife feels wronged by her husband, go in private. Talk to him. Don't get on your phone with your mother-in-law and say, you know what he did to me? Put the phone away. Go and talk with your spouse. And the same thing the other way. Husbands, when you feel wronged by your wife, don't pick up the phone or go down and meet your buddies and go, you know what she's doing? I can't believe this. Go, talk to your wife. that your relationships will be restored, that you will again come into unity together. Because these are the things that are every day. We can say where two or people are gathered together, there am I in the midst of. Well, you can basically say where two or three people are gathered together, there's also a fight. Because if two people come together long enough, they will fight. Don't ask me why, that's just who we are in this flesh. But Jesus has given us a means in which to deal with even that sinful side of our flesh. He has given us the steps that we are to use so that we can continue to be in unity and fellowship together. And He has given us His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and shed His blood so that we can be in unity with God forever. And that's what this whole text is about. That we would continue in unity and love in the body of Jesus Christ. He gave it to us not to embarrass people, but that because He loves us and knew we would need these steps in order to keep our unity. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You knowing that You are indeed here in our midst by the power of Your Word and through Your Holy Spirit. We ask, Father, that You would continue to remind us of that each and every time that we feel sinned against. That, Father, we would be reminded of Your Word and the Word of Your Son. That we would go to our brother privately with all hopes of winning our brother back, that we would be in full fellowship. And that, Father, You would work through those things that Your Son has given us. That unity and that fellowship would always be within our midst as a body, and even our midst all over. Father, we thank You too that we can proclaim this gospel, this message of forgiveness to all people. That they can be in unity with us and with You. And we ask that You would continue to work through Your Word and through Your people. That, Father, this gospel message would go forth. And that people would see our unity together, our love for one another. And that we would indeed show love as we have been loved. We thank You, Father, for this text. We thank You for this morning. And we thank You, Father, for Your blessing each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.